on this Monday night, first Monday of September, watch how fast it goes. Dana Durnford is standing by up in British Columbia. Yoshi is on an airplane somewhere, flying somewhere. Yoshi always on airplanes flying, it seems, when he's busy, and he's busy most of the time. Dana, how are you up there? How's it going? Let's get caught up with you. You
turned on the mic.
Oh yes,
okay,
you pushed it over the limit.
I think so.
And you've been kind of out of it for a couple of weeks, resting, trying to recover. Tell us what happened.
I went. I tried to go up north and visit all the communities, but it was too rough. I could have shot across, but I wouldn't have made it back. And I probably
you went out on the
up.
On the Zodiac on the boat.
On the boat, and so I pulled the plug on it at the north of Vancouver Island and ran down to the west coast of Vancouver Island and went up to Banfield. And Banfield is a marine research science center, but it's a big bay. It's
a mouthpiece.
40
it's
miles
a,
out.
It's a mouthpiece is what it is.
And so the, I got it's about a 2 kilometer hike up to the research center from the community of Banfield, which is a population of about 100 people. And
really? How big is this Banfield? How many people are employed there?
Oh, Banfield's huge. It's 71 universities supporting it. I don't know how many people are employed there, but it's a sprawling 1 kilometer facility.
Right.
It's one kilometer from the gate to the office. There's a sign there that tells you 1 kilometer. But that's farther than I tried to walk in 15 years. And so it was summertime, so it was in the shade. It's all tree going up there. But anyway, it starts off with, I went out there and done the coastline that day. I got halfway out that night. It got so windy, I had to anchor up and hide away. Got up in the morning, and it was okay. And so I went on out and caught the low tide. I ran in there and got steering fluid at the fuel dock and then ran back out and caught the low tide at 10 a.m. or so. It was a very low tide. I counted 9 or 10 species, but we'll say 14. And there should be 7,200 species. So I was determined to go in and ask them a simple question, just to make my presence felt, where are the rest of the species? And they see me come out and told me to get out of here. They told me I was barred, I wasn't allowed there.
Who told you that? I don't want names, but who were these people?
This
staff?
Was administration, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty... crazy that you know that they've done that to me.
How the hell would they know who you were just because you were?
It's a public. This is what do you call them? A non-charitable organization,
right?
And so they're public, and so I had every right to go up and ask them a question.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, every right in the world, and I exercised that right. And for that, I was humiliated and chased off the property. And there was 2 students, I guess, or something, faculty, were just outside the building. And I asked them, "Have you ever seen anybody get barred from this facility?" And they begrudgingly answered me. But I had asked them, "How many species are they supposed to have out there?" And I said, 7,200. He said, "How many?" I said, 7,200. He said, "What are they?" This is, at the facility. And so, I just rattled them off the majority of them.
Uh-huh.
But the arrogance and that hubris. But anyway, on the way back, both legs gave out. And I ended up I was just at that pinnacle where I was on the other side of a hill. It's a very steep hill. Anybody coming over would have ran me over most likely. But a truck came over and seen me and stopped. This was forestry. And I was paralyzed with pain at this stage. I couldn't get in the truck. And when I finally got in the truck, I was in so much agony. They couldn't move the truck. I was screaming in pain for a good 5 minutes. All the way to the wharf, I was screaming in pain, agony, and then I went out and anchored off and went to sleep out of it when I finally got out there. But when we got back to the wharf, I fell down on the ground for 7 or 8 minutes, couldn't move, and that was really something, and that just took the entire good out of me. I came home and tried to recover, and it was a slow, I'm recovered as far as I'm concerned.
You have leg braces, right?
No, I'm standing on my own. I was in a hospital bed 10 years and 5 mm-hmm. years in mm-hmm. a wheelchair trying to get out of it.
So you don't have to wear the braces now, but you've got to go very carefully. I got it.
Yeah, my bones are very fragile.
Yeah.
Because of the injury. It was a diving injury. I'm full of bubbles from my bones and body. But anyway, so yeah, there was 14 species. And say there was a couple of hundred boats there, sports boats. There was no birds flying over them, no birds alongside them, no birds in the water or something like that. And there was a group of 250 seagulls was on a rock, and they weren't eating, they weren't pecking at anything. They were all just sat there. It was the strangest thing you ever saw. And I seen one whale, to me, it looked like it was really skinny. And that was the big salmon run goes up Port Alberni, up that major area. It's a huge run.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a well-known spot. And so the insects were next to nothing. It was really hard to find anything under the five algaes. And so it was surreal. That's the end of it, for sure.
Algaes are the oldest life form, perhaps, on the planet, certainly in terms of vegetation. They've been around for 3 billion years, and that's why this bio-superfood is so effective. Dr. Kiriak, the Russian scientist after Chernobyl, worked and created this combination of four of the most potent algaes, red, yellow, blue, and green, on the planet. And they help detoxify, they can chelate radiation out of you, but they also build your immune system like nothing else. And he was on last week, we talked about that. You mentioned algae, and they're going to be around. They're tough. They've been around. They'll probably be the last to go, if they go at all. But that's interesting.
Well, there's supposed to be 700 species out there.
Yeah, there's
in particular,
a lot.
There's less than six or seven at best. And they were the same ones throughout the whole coastline. They're the hanger on. Yeah, that's the end of it, though. They can't survive. And so it's just, it's unbelievable that we're still talking about it in this context where this planet has not gone to battle against Japan's reactors.
Five and a half years, Dana.
Yeah.
5.5 years.
It won't go another 5.5.
No, it won't. We're still talking. I still get email from people. Thank you. If you want to report in and tell me what you're seeing or not seeing in terms of bugs, insect life, where you are, especially birds. I can go outside where I am in Oregon, and there are trees and everything. Not hear one bird. Nothing. No birds. And I don't see any ants anymore. I see a few. I saw one ant today. Used to see different species of ants, hives, colonies of them. No more. I don't see any insects to speak of. No flies, no house flies. This is nothing left. A few dragonflies, of course, they've been around forever too, but not many. There used to be dozens and dozens and dozens. Now you might see one or two. So it's all
be thousands of species, thousands.
Absolutely. They're all gone. They're not there. And you look looked at car windshields. Whenever I go, where there are other cars, parking lots, where they don't have squash bugs on them. No bug splats on them.
Everybody gets that. Everybody understands that one. That's something that resonates, don't it?
Yeah.
The insects on the windshield.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if you look in the Fukushima catastrophe box, radiation, on the right column at Rents, and the very top story is bugs and birds are gone. And you can read the emails from people. And if you'd like to contribute, by all means, write up your observations and send them in.
Right. And then the mountains with the glacier ice is gone. That's such a significant one that is easy to identify.
That's huge.
And the global warming alarmists are not freaking completely out about it, using it as a tool to bludgeon any opposition. And so, because they know they can't trace it to anthropogenic in the context of like cardboard, tin cans, and pop bottles, it's a direct result of the emissions from the reactors in Japan. This is unbelievable. And when I say Japan reactors, I'm not talking, there's 400 kilometers of the coastline was put through a wood chipper. There was all kinds of nuclear holding sites throughout that area. Common spent fuel pools were underground. It's really something that's going on here. And like you say, it's so huge, it's so big, it's hard for anybody to appreciate or wrap their mind around it or even...
They can't. I can't blame them. They can't. They're denied their birthright to know what's happening around them. The government lies. And as we know, the government measures all the time, the water, the air. They know what's going on.
Right.
They're not
going to
tell us.
They did so. The U.S. sailors, I mean, they weren't rescuing people 100 miles offshore like they claimed that these sailors were 100 miles offshore.
No.
They were in on the beach. They were in planes. They had a dozen jet engines had to be changed because of radiation. These people were right in the thick of it. The helicopters, the crews were picking people right off the shoreline. And so they were going in on the beaches with these big vessels. There was many vessels were sent down there. It wasn't just the USS Ronald Reagan.
Correct.
Yeah. And so they got massive. They only needed one dose. They didn't need to be there all day, every day. They only needed to be there a minute and get into those plumes. You know, an interesting story was that the sailors on the Reagan, the digital watches, they all stopped at the same time.
And oh, that's interesting.
Like the, yeah, just like the robots all
did. What a pulse. Yeah, a big, huge pulse hit them.
Right, because there were six reactor cores in each building coming through when it blew up. And
hey, fried their watches. Wow, that's interesting. I never heard
it
of that.
It is, yeah, no. So a lot of people, it's described a lot of the times as the original plume is not as bad as the original plume. Well, nothing will be as bad as the original explosion, but this thing just keeps melting. There was there's a story out there right now about safe release TEPCO advisor says for the water into the ocean. And this is by a known crank, Dale Klein. And Dale, I'm doing a video on him, but one of the things he says to the NRA staff, because he's NRA, he's a nuclear scientist, he says the safest plane never flies, the safest car never drives, and the safest nuclear plant never runs. In other words, he conflates them together, but the reply for that would be, we don't need terrorist laws to protect a plane crash, and we don't put cars in sarcophagus for millions of years, and we don't have the technology to stop Chernobyl, but we'll invent it soon because we have to deal with Fukushima before it kills this planet. Well, it's too late for that one anyway, but this is the what you're up against, these public speakers. Now, the same person is now saying, because he's TEPCO's advisor, that it's okay to release the radiated water. I mean, in one sense, they kind of got to it because they got to stay on the site. And in another sense, they can build facilities and transfer the water there. But on the other side, that if they have a big earthquake, there are all these things, because we know it's duct tape and plastic pipes. It falls apart. You won't be able to get
back
on
the site. That's right. They're going to dump. They're probably already dumping those tanks at night.
I believe so. I don't believe there's anything in the tanks. I think they're all empty. And if they are full, they're full of just normal water that they piped in there to fill it up so that nosy people...
Or seawater, something. Who knows?
Well, the neutrons and the X-rays coming out of this stuff, see, you can't walk past it. Even those big steel containers can't contain it. Because the elements are so... and there's particles of the rods, of the pellets and everything else going into those tanks. You're sucking it up. From the reactors, they're pumping water down through the reactors, they're sucking it back up, and so this is unbelievable stuff. Like you say, there was workers who had their legs burnt from just walking in it a couple of years back.
We don't get any more reports of anything at Daiichi. Nothing. We used to get reports from some of the workers who would quit, or at least they'd try to get the word out. We don't hear anything anymore.
Workers usually die shortly after anyway.
Most of them are all gone. Let me tell you a radiation story over here. I can't prove it, but it's interesting. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. I had it up for 3 days. That the SpaceX rocket at Cape Canaveral, which was on a launch pad preparing to launch an Israeli satellite. Did you see that story?
I did so, yeah.
Okay. A UFO, this is daylight. And this is not at launch time. This rocket didn't explode on launch. This happened at least 24 hours before it was to be launched. A UFO, a clear, unidentified flying object, a machine, a round orb, showed up behind the rocket, as you look at it from whoever was taking the footage, behind the rocket, and that rocket at the top stage, right where that Israeli package was, which is, they call it a product, oddly enough, exploded. It's pretty clear, connect the dots, whoever was flying that little round orb came there to destroy that rocket and its payload. Whatever the Israelis had been working on left them to say that what they said was, and I, if I can find this exact quote, I don't think I can now, but it was something like, we have suffered an extremely big loss. Let's see. I had it here somewhere. Well, I'll find it somewhere. Let's see. Hold, just give me 30 seconds here. Okay. what we think may have been in that Israeli product, they called it, is something with plutonium in it. It may have been a space-based nuclear weapons system they were putting up. It left them... The direct quote was, Israeli Space Agency says, satellite loss, a major blow. So they had been working on this for years. 2, 3, 4 years? 5? We don't know. It was clearly something that was not kosher. Another story, ET UFO destroys Israeli weaponized satellite on SpaceX rocket. Now that's another interesting read. I've got all these up. You can find them in headlines. The bottom line on this was I got a phone call from somebody who lives in Florida. And this resident said, did you hear about the radio broadcasts here? And I said, no. And I was told that right after this explosion, within 5 or 6 hours, all the local and regional radio stations in that part of Florida began broadcasting a message which said, and by the way, when this rocket went up, it left apparently an enormous black trail of smoke up into the air and out over the ocean. Very, very dark, very foreboding. The radio announcement said, about the rocket, basically, I'm paraphrasing, don't worry, be happy, there's no danger to public health or welfare from that rocket blowing up on the launch pad. And they went on and fleshed out a little bit more. And then they said at the end of this radio ad, this is what I'm being told now, and if you see anything in the area on the ground that looks unusual or odd or like it might be part of this exploded rocket, don't touch it under any circumstances and call the local authorities immediately. Now, what does that tell you, Dana?
You know, I thought about this, and one of the conclusions, not that it's necessarily right, and it doesn't matter, I guess, but was that it's a lot of money for those packages, and so if they fake the package, they got all their money, it doesn't go up. If it goes up, it doesn't work, then they're in trouble. But, I mean, they're notorious for ripping off stuff, too. On the second side, I read the stuff about the plutonium, and we know they'd done this before, and we know from the first time that it happened going up into space with a satellite that was going to go into the far reaches that everybody on the planet ended up with a little tiny bit of plutonium into them, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, it could be on purpose. And it could be, like you
that,
say...
That was clearly a, at the very least, in my opinion, from judging by the urgency of this radio message, which went out over numerous stations, was a plutonium-fueled something or another, whatever that product was. And it could have been anything. We know the Israelis are treacherous. We know they'll do anything to solidify their control. They're blackmailers. We know about the Samson option. This could have been... like a MIRVed warhead on a rocket, which has 10 independently targeted nuclear bombs. This could have been a MIRVed vehicle to go into orbit.
It could have been a Palestinian drone to shot it down, right? Looking like a round object. Who knows?
Yeah. But the bottom line is, this was clearly a very highly classified military weapons technology that was blown up by a UFO, an ET. Evidence is clear.
How is it Israel can control 5 million Palestinian refugees but can't control 10,000 Hamas?
You know? Yeah, good question. How is it that they can continue to endorse ISIS and send up to 1,000 medical personnel into eastern Syria and Iraq to take care of wounded ISIS fighters? How is it that Israel gets involved with this? How is it Israel has not had one terrorist attack?
Right, 10,000 ISIS, 10,000 Taliban, 10,000 Boko Haram, 10,000 is the magic number for a bad guy, and you can
isn't
justify
that the truth?
Millions of refugees,
yeah.
The misery machine in full control.
Yeah.
And now Syria started right after Fukushima. There was all kinds of where Apple died that same year, Steve Jobs. There was just endless headlines that year, very big actors and stars dying. It was... And the war's gone on ever since, and all the focus goes straight to Syria, and rightly so in a lot of ways, because it's horrible what they got done and what they're continuing to do and the justifications.
And it's all the United States and NATO and the West, and
yeah,
they're provoking Russia. I'm surprised Russia has been able, Putin leadership, remarkable. I'm surprised they've been able to withstand all the pressure, all the barbs, all the jabs. The West clearly has been ordered to ignite a war with Russia.
Yeah,
that's
for 50 years. That's been the same conversation, and ultimately we'll see that'll be the end of the planet, because they'll say, okay, well, it's time to pull the trigger, guys. Let's pull the trigger on each other. And they'll say, they'll get together and eat a bunch of caviar, the last caviar on the planet, probably.
Mm.
It's to control opposition, control left, control right, extreme left, extreme right, far left, far right. And, like, we no longer live in a jungle instead of just organized. The system is not supposed to, the government is not supposed to be doing what they're doing. The media is not supposed to be protecting them. The lobbyists are not even supposed to exist. The universities are supposed to be there for knowledge. Instead, everything's locked behind a paywall. We're feeding everybody GMO and then wrecking the planet.
Locked behind a paywall. That really sums it up. We think of our universities as our leading intellectual probes into the future and to make our lives better, but they're not at all.
No, 4,300 peer-reviewed studies a day. 7 or 8 of them will get loose, and they're really bad ones, but we'll suck it up. And the rest of them are locked up behind Elsevier, Springer, and Wiley's paywalls. And so knowledge is hard to come by. It's, even though the internet is wide open, it's not what it's supposed to be. And then we have every day 29,000 children starving to death or dying of illnesses, diseases that are easy to fix with just salts, like pneumonia.
Let's not forget the 8 years of the Clinton administration. Over a million, 500,000 largely Iraqi children and women were killed by the Clintons because of the no-fly zone and the cutoff of all medications to Israel or Iraq. They couldn't get anything. And they died. 500,000 minimum died under the Clinton regime. Genocide. And how many have died in Afghanistan? 2 to 3 million. How many have been killed in Iraq since Bush 41? 2 to 3 million. Nobody knows about this, though. Coming up on
10,000 Taliban.
To get 10,000. Stand by, Dana. We'll come right back in a few minutes with more. Your long tonight. Dana Durnford is with us. Yoshi is en route, flying from here to there somewhere in Southeast Asia. And we're talking about Fukushima radiation, the extinction event that is underway now. It's undeniable. And it has been first essayed and tagged by the prolific research and risk of his own life that Dana Durnford has put out for all of us. Things that in many cases the government is well aware of but will never tell us. Dana found out on his own. Nuclearproctologist.org. You can click on Dana's name and go right to the site. You have built back, I assume, a great deal of material there that you were forced to take down for a while?
No, I got 300 videos, presentations taken down that won't go back up. But they're all over the internet. Thank goodness, in that context, at least they're out there.
Yeah.
But I had 24 hours to purge my site, and then I had to purge everything on the internet with their names on it from Woods Hole and the University of Victoria, because they're the two biggest public speakers. You're not allowed to criticize those people. It's just to assert they're not going to go to court. I'm sure of it. They're not going to show up. I'm sure of that. And so this was, but you know, we still got three, in 2 weeks' time, I got on the 28th, 21st, 22nd, I'm going to be at trial 6 hours a day. And so I would like nothing better than to go to trial. I would love nothing better to get them on the stand. Oh my. And I'm not going to get that opportunity for what? To you know, what are they trying to accomplish by doing all this to me? Besides trying to destroy my name, that didn't work. Trying to wreck me.
They're trying to break your spirit and make you go away.
Yeah, I guess so. And try to drive everybody away. It's hard to say what the hell, because it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, look, they've got their the government has its paid trolls and shills on the internet saying bad things about anybody they want to put in disfavor somehow.
Vicious.
They've certainly done it to me. Oh, you can find crap on me that bears no basis in reality at all.
Unbelievable thugs, man.
They are.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, we got like you say, we got an extinction event, and we got to move off the coastline and right through North America. Everybody's going to have to get off this coastline. And
you know, as I read, though, Dana, it's not the extinction. It extends all the way across the country now.
Right. I'm talking more about it's a direct, right there at the ocean.
If you're right on the shore, oh, you don't want to be
and
there.
And any time about the superstorms that will come.
Yeah, if you're in a marine layer, you don't want to be in a marine layer.
Right. And because it just keeps flowing into your community all the time, even if you don't see it, it's still
there right.
on the coastline.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, the morning dew, the fog, and everything else. But it's the temperature inversions and everything else, and it's all the moisture and the salt for 200 kilometers inland. You want to be on the other side of the Rockies if you can, but there's nowhere to hide. But it's better than be somewhere where it's not totally nuts and where you might not, hopefully, excuse me, where, you know, these superstorms are real. We never seen nothing like this 200-mile-an-hour sustained winds hitting land and ripping up provinces. The Philippines, 40 provinces torn right out of the ground, 30 million trees turned into projectiles, and gusting 225. If that hit California, that hit any city in North America, it's done. Then you're going to get it. Then it's too late. And then you're going to have to evacuate. Then you won't want to stay there. You'll be wanting to run away. We've seen that. In Fiji, we've seen that in New Mexico when these winds hit. We've seen it in five storms in the Pacific Ocean after Fukushima. And so I watched one story about the Philippines where they asked the villagers where they're going to rebuild. And he said, well, if we're going to have storms like this, what's the sense of it? Why would you want to rebuild here?
Right.
You're going to barely survive that one. The children are still terrorized, and an update on that Philippine storm was that the children are still terrorized every time they hear wind or hear about a storm.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're still terrorized by it.
Well, that storm was enormous in size. I remember it was huge.
Right. Like it was like a tornado, but 100 miles wide. A tornado, a big one, would be three quarters at best.
Yeah.
And that would only last for 6 minutes. This lasts for 3 hours, and then it went on to Vietnam. But it never lost any speed. And it's 100 mile wide, hardcore, but 300 miles wide altogether.
These are unprecedented.
Yeah. If that hit California, it'll raise that city completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for 300 square miles as it's moving for hours.
And the winds were clocked at 200. Were they clocked at 2?
225 gust. 195 steady. And I have around 10 video clips of the media talking about it. I strung them together and put them up on my website. But you go to Wikipedia, it says 155 miles per hour. But I got all that documentation of it when it originally happened. That's the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the same thing for Vanuatu, for Fiji, for New Mexico. And for some reason, I can't remember the other one off the top of my head tonight, but... this is a real deal. The ocean is warming up because there's so much radiation in it already and so much going into it constantly. It's falling out of the atmosphere. Even if everything stopped coming out of the reactors, it would take 100 or 1,000 years for it to fall out of the upper and lower troposphere.
Right, yeah. And it's being pumped up constantly. And you know that the Japanese have not stopped with their insane incineration program? They're still doing it.
Yeah, that's a great point. I covered that.
They're burning radioactive waste, friends, in large city municipal incinerators with these enormous stacks that go up, chimneys, smokestack. They burn waste, and they're all the cities were told by the government, the central government, you have to do your part. In other words, you have to take your share or a share of the radioactive debris and burn it up so it goes away. Are they nuts? Are they crazy? A child would tell you that doesn't work.
And we know the forest fires and the automobile pollution, industrial pollution adds to the American-Canadian pollution indexes. And they're huge particles. What we're talking about is tens of thousands of times smaller.
Good point.
Right, that they're burning in those incinerators are burning at 3,000 degree Fahrenheit temperatures, not like an automobile at low temperatures, 160 or something. And so the particles are smaller and they can travel a lot further that way, but it's a lot hotter, so they go a lot higher. But if you look at Chernobyl, if you look at Fukushima, for instance, and Chernobyl, the biota, the insects, the bacteria and everything disappeared rather quickly. And so forest fires are much more scarier down there. But also there was no, it's like, why do the people go in to feed the pets in Fukushima? Really, is because they will starve, because the birds and the butterflies and the majority of this things that like a cat would catch or eat are gone. And this is emblematic of nuclear. It just consumes everything, and it spreads all the time. Chernobyl gets bigger all the time, even though they have an exclusion zone. It still gets much bigger. There's just outside of Fukushima and Naraha, N-A-R-A-H-A, 10% of the population moved back in there. I was covering it today, and if you go look it up on Google search, what you'll find is in big black bags where they got 30 million of those bags in that whole area.
30
but
million.
Naraha, Naraha, it got just stacks and stacks and stacks of these bags where 10% of the population moved back last year, which is about almost 700 people. If you're there for a day, you'll be sick for life. And if you live there for a year, this kind of stuff where they say, well, if you ingest an isotope, it might take 10, 20, 30, 40 years to manifest and diagnose into a cancer, but there's 1,800 diseases showing up before that. But if you're living in the environment, you're in for a rude awakening 5 to 10 years. That's mostly what you're going to get out of it. But people are transient. Who's tracking all of this? Who's categorically keeping an eye on all of these people and seeing what the long? No one, of course, because most of these people are transient. Most of these people are just bought into the narrative or just couldn't find life anywhere else and leave the system. And that's murder.
Sure.
I mean, that is murder. These are victims. And like they say, they got a little bit of farming going on there. That's insanity. This is 20 kilometers outside, away from Fukushima. They're growing cattle there. Not many, just a handful of them. But that's insanity that someone might actually eat that. That might be fed to people. This is the way of nuclear. It's just relentless. Every dog in every study, every animal died for 70 years, but it didn't die right away. They don't just drop dead. They don't just fall down. Right? But people don't see it that way. And unless that happens to you, then it's not poison in their world, because it's so hard. Like, you broke that bond who knows when you said, well, I don't trust these people anymore. And because you looked at it, or maybe who knows what. There was that one time where you finally came to this conclusion that I just really can't trust these people. And then you find out that everything out there, you got your fate put into the whole system that everybody.
Everything.
Yeah, every one of them are, the only way I can describe it is public relation firms, puppet or lapdog or whatever you want to call it. But they're public, they're not there for us ever.
No.
And it's so heartbreaking. It's demoralizing in every sense.
We're brought up with such a lie.
Right. That fairy tale. Like women are brought up to think about Prince Charming is going to rescue them from their whatever.
Right.
And that he's going to give them everything and big castles and the whole world is going to love them. And they grow up with that fantasy. And then every relationship is based upon that. Even though they don't understand that and they're mature, allegedly.
And now what's happened? The women are being brought up to basically emasculate the men who don't know what their job is in society at all anymore. So it's a joke. Now here we're 2016. In 2020, we just went through the dreadful Rio Olympics. The next Olympics, probably going to be the deadliest Olympics ever. Story you saw it in ENE News. Many of you saw it, I'm sure. Dana saw it. In Tokyo, they are saying now, this is a television report, Astronomical amounts of radiation are found in downtown Tokyo, directly outside government buildings. Horrific, and that's a quote, horrific readings where kids are playing in Fukushima. Extreme levels found where food is grown for elementary school lunches and in other areas. This is all going to be amazing. The Tokyo Olympics are going to be the Radiation Olympics. Nobody should go there. Nobody.
No.
It's not fit for anyone. It was bad enough in Rio with Zika mosquitoes and all of that. Swimming pools, water wasn't right. And
pickpockets,
anyway,
you name it. It didn't matter.
But this, Tokyo is going to just walk away from that.
Well, you go to Tokyo, everything is fine. You do the games, it's all fine.
Go out to sushi bar and But
generally, it'll be 10, 20, 30 years if that was the only exposure you're going to get. But it's not. You're getting it in this country. In
your better
country.
Look at the Bio Superfood ad, and I keep imploring you folks. It's the only thing that has been developed and proven to help the body with regard to radioactive exposure. Look at it's the second banner, I think, at the top of Rents. Click on that. Read the data, please, and understand what's going on here. It's that bad. I hate it. I wish it wasn't. But we began telling you 5.5 years ago. In fact, a few days after the event, we began to warn you that stuff's coming over here. Government said, too far.
I tell people to pray to their water before they drink it. Tell the water to appreciate it. Tell the water how precious it is and how grateful you are. And what you do is just changing the structure of the water.
You can do that. That's true.
Yeah, that's fact. And that will light your blood. What is one of the biggest is cancer or diseases. Most of these are the foundation that would play in your blood. Your blood was plating up all the red cells and blood cells.
They weren't enough from each other. They lost bioelectric charge.
They should, that's right. They should be like two magnets opposed to each other,
right,
but able to stay in that proximity where that was so.
Mm-hmm.
And live
in harmony. That's why I sleep on a magnetic mattress pad under my, it's actually under my top mattress, which is all 100% organic latex. I won't have a spring mattress. So I've got the latex mattress. Under that, I have one of the, you'll see the ad at the top of the page there again, Magnetico Sleep. Look it up. Do the research and you can listen to Dr. Bonley explain to you. You lay on that magnetic mattress pad. It's negative polarity only. And within 20 minutes, you do a blood test before and a blood test 20 minutes later. And all the blood cells are no longer stacked up like a long freight train. They're all standing off from each other. That negative magnetic polarity, that field you're in, allows the body to bioelectrically rebalance itself. It's not a joke. Do the research. Get one of these. I think he's got a 6 or 12 month money back guarantee on it. You'll never want your money back. I've slept in a magnetic field, which it extends up 18 to 24 inches above the top of the mattress. So you're in a field all night long, and your body can restore and repair itself and become also guarded from some of the electromagnetic death rays that are being thrown at us all the time from cell towers and you name it. Go ahead.
I actually sleep in a canopy-type bed. I have a pressure relief mattress underneath me.
Uh-huh.
But then I'm wrapped around in a shield, a magnetic shield, so to speak, for radio waves and Wi-Fi, cell phone waves. So if I take my cell phone in there, I can't get a single. But
it's like a Faraday cage. What is it?
Right. It's just a curtain. Special. It's all interwoven. I can't remember the proper name.
Well, it must be copper in the threads.
Right. Yeah. It's very expensive. It helps.
So it's like a mosquito net that comes down.
It is. It's
okay. If you can
right around the whole bed.
Send me at some point, if you would, the name of that product. I'd really like to know.
I do sleep really good since
that's a brilliant thing.
It's made a huge difference for me.
They put copper in with the threads.
And I sleep sound like a rock on top of that. I can sleep in for the first time in my life, I think.
Yeah, send that along.
I spent most of my life getting up 3:30 in the morning since I was 13 for 11 years and going to work on the ocean. So I've always had that with me where I woke up by nature and I couldn't sleep in. But now I do. And it's a relief for me. But I will do that, Jeff. Absolutely.
What a smart thing.
Yeah, it's, I just feel so good wrapped in it anyway. It's warm.
Oh, yeah. Well, if we could get you on a magnetic mattress pad underneath
you. Yeah, I know. I hear you. Just to top it all off. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why I like what you're saying. I just figured it would compliment what you were talking about.
Absolutely. I'm definitely going to get what you have.
It's worth it. That's terrific. Plus, you say it keeps mosquitoes out. Not that you get many, but it does keep them out. So.
I mean, yeah. Look, if you can keep
it does have that.
Keep the EMF out. If you can actually cut that off.
Do so.
We're bathed in it.
Sometimes you get a single through it. There's a strong one, but the majority of it.
Remember what they're doing is they're planning to Wi-Fi the whole damn planet, so there's nowhere to hide from that stuff.
Right, yeah, because you got all the smart meters all around me and everything else. So I do notice a huge difference. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Wow.
And that was a donation from one of my listeners out there.
Well, we're going to get on this.
Special.
I'm going to get on this real quick. This is fascinating.
Hey, Japan wants to use Pokemon Go to track visitors of Fukushima.
What's that?
Japan, this is the headline, Daily Mail. Japan wants to use Pokemon Go to track visitors to Fukushima. And so these people are out of control, completely and utterly, remorselessly out of control.
Yeah.
And that we need to rein them in. Someone needs to rein them in. We need a superhero to show up and bash them, a few of them, and get them back to being normal humans. Because they're not acting like humans anymore. And then the public relation scientists, nuclear scientists, they're not acting like citizens.
No, they're not. They're not acting responsibly.
Not at all. And there's no one to hold them accountable. We don't know how to hold these people accountable. We tell them not to do it. We show the law and they ignore it. Keep lying.
It's like trying to hold the Clintons accountable.
It's unbelievable that the media has been saying the same lie for 70 years and not able to correct it, but is able to go after opponents out there and come up with endless stories about them. But when it comes to nuclear, they're not able to work out that a banana got nothing to do with it. I can't understand that. See? They got expert after expert after expert, and nobody's willing to challenge that. But look what they've done to me. They challenged me endlessly in major media.
Oh, of course. Of course.
But they won't challenge the nuclear part itself, but they'll attack in that context. And so it's just like you got to become the media in order just to have a conversation about any subject. You literally got to become media yourself.
Right.
Yeah, like you've done for so long. And as you know, there's so many people out there that are fighting back, are trying, are educating people.
If they could just get organized, they're just in little cells here and there pushing their best. This situation in Tokyo, though, the agency over there is called METI. That's the regulatory agency over nuclear power that is directly responsible to the people of Japan. And they're finding these enormous amounts of radioactivity right outside the METI building.
Right at their own building.
Right there.
Right there. They're getting buzzed every day, so they're going to die just as quick as anybody else.
That's right.
So if that doesn't tell the world how stupid this industry really truly is, and how desperate these people really are, and how dangerous that is, that these people, even though they can't deny it, the experts went there and got the documentation, and they walk around with their fingers in their lolly, 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 I can't hear you. This isn't maniacs. This is out of control. There's no other, I can't say it. You can't say what needs to be done, even though everybody knows what needs to be done. If you say it, they come bang on your door and arrest you for saying it.
Right.
Yeah, isn't it? Political hyperbole doesn't apply to us. It only applies to them when they're in trouble.
Isn't that the truth?
Well.
All right.
The ocean is over. I won't be going on the ocean anymore. That's the end of that. It's all done. I'm done. Yeah. That just took the good out of me forever. And I wish it wasn't that way, but I guess it's like the documentary's coming, and I don't have the part that I wanted for it, and which was what I was going to get this time. And that's okay. I can make 100 documentaries with the material I got, and I probably will. And, I'm going into the Sundance Film Festival with somebody else that done a documentary on me. There was another Belize crew up a couple of weeks ago doing a documentary, going to enter into the Belize Film Festival.
They're covering you and your work?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Oh, really? Oh, this is really good news. I didn't know.
I gave them unfettered access to me in my home.
Yeah.
And he camped out in the garden and caught me in my early rises.
Uh-huh.
So, and it was a really good experience all around. And one of the people were from Fukushima Prefecture, was a teacher there at the time. And so they had moved to Belize right away and stayed there.
Oh, but, they did?
Yeah, because they were in the know, I guess, right? So a lot of people had just flew out of there immediately. I can't remember the numbers, but America was pulling them all out, paying for everybody to fly their families out of there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, reimbursing them for it if they wanted to leave. And, you know, that documentary, it's going to be really simple. It's not going to be Dana the way I normally am. It's just a total... So I had a backup plan in case I couldn't make it up coast. And once the court case is over in a few weeks, I'll do the final touches on it.
Uh-huh.
Dennis, I like to find a distributor, but I don't really care in that context. But I am trying to find a major distributor. I want to get it out there on Netflix and places like this too. And so that's why it's chewing through everything I got to try.
Well,
to
you got to let me know when it's ready, and we'll I'll do whatever I can to help you here.
I know.
This is crucial. I've been hoping you'd do this from a long time back.
Yeah, it's a whole year since I've been arrested, and that has just destroyed my life, but it hasn't stopped it.
No.
And ultimately, they'll see that was a big mistake for them.
And you're an amazing warrior, Dana. You keep it up.
Yeah, you too, Jeff, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, hugs for you and your loved ones, everybody out there. Take care, folks.
Thanks, Dana. Good night.
Yeah, good night, Jeff.
Dana Durnford. That's really good news that he's being honored. A couple documentaries on what he's done, the sacrifices he's made on behalf of all of us. Don't come along like that very often. All right, that's Monday, and wow, we're off and rolling. Back with you tomorrow night. Lots happening. Hope to have you along. Talk then.